What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey, people trying to get us to review the first Purge? For real. I don't want to. I just don't want to see it. Like,
that's clearly what we're going to do for Halloween.
I mean, it is also clearly what we're going to do for Halloween. I already suggested we do it when it comes out on digital, which is in a couple weeks, actually. It would be the movie either right after this series or like shortly after like The Predators or something. If we did The Predators.
Man, I wish we could do The Predators. We definitely can't because that white dude is definitely the lead of that movie.
The white dude's the lead of the movie.
But I'm kind of excited to see Predators.
Shane Black is one of my favorite writers.
Yeah, Shane Black is dope.
Plus like just a bus full of convicts fighting a predator, like that's cool.
Yeah.
And then there's a super predator. Which all by the way, I never need that stuff. They always do this like there's a monster that's bigger and badder than the other monster that you love. And I'm like, no, the first monster is cool. Like I don't like Jason X. Did you like Jason X?
Yeah, but the extra thing is to get those people that are like, man, it's the same shit.
No. First of all, Hollywood clearly doesn't care about that at all. If anything, they're doubling down on the same stuff. They're like, the only thing people want to see is sequels, remakes,
franchises. Then you do a hybrid dinosaur that's two times the size of the regular T-Rex.
You know,
and it can camouflage.
That's what we're going to talk about. We're talking about,
yo,
this has nothing to do with the episode or anything about it. We're just going to talk about Jurassic World.
Yes, Jurassic World,
Fallen Kingdom.
Fallen Kingdom. Hell yeah.
They should remake,
what?
They should remake Candyman. But hear me out.
Oh, that's true.
But hear me out, though.
Okay.
Because Candyman takes place, you know, like he was a, what was it? He wasn't a slave, but like he was killed by like with the KKK or whatever.
Oh, was he?
Because it was like the whole thing was like he got caught for having sex with a white woman and like they killed him and like, covered him in honey, whatever.
Yeah.
That took place in like the 90s, right?
No.
Because he gets killed, you call his name, then he comes up.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is you can have it be like what? Screw setting it into 1800s, 1900s. Set it in 1990, 1991.
Yeah.
Have Candyman be like killed unjustly by the police. Or maybe the same thing. Maybe even tried for a crime he didn't commit and be electrocuted, have him come back. But instead of just being a villain, he's seeking justice on all the criminals and crooked cops and crooked politicians who like do people of color in.
I mean,
that's real shit.
Yo, that's dope.
That's dope.
It's shocking. I don't know how we got this, but the fact that one of the first times in what 20, who knows how long a cop has been actually convicted of killing an unarmed black kid. That's
crazy.
Wait,
what? This is the first time?
I mean, one of the first times. When's the last time someone actually got convicted and sentenced?
It was that Asian cop in New York.
Oh.
Who shot in the stairwell.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
And it ricocheted and killed that dude.
Well, this time a white dude got sentenced.
Yo, but he got convicted for a ricochet, though?
I mean,
damn.
It was a reckless.
Yeah, that's a reckless
shot. Shooting.
But also, like, they convicted the Asian dude when so many white dudes got away with it.
That's true.
This dude only got It's not about the ricochet. Somebody is dead, and that's...
We're talking about
Candyman.
We're talking about...
Well, I mean, I don't even know... Y'all put it.
Well, I guess honestly, the first Purge Candyman, that actually, it really wasn't that much of a leap.
Nope. Attract.
It
that
really
tracked.
Wasn't that much of a leap.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That's my fault.
There are some movies coming out that are we gonna review that movie with the gun? Kin?
Yo, I feel like we have to, right?
I finally watched the short movie that people kept sending us.
Oh,
what is a short movie about it?
A short that Ken is based off of?
A short film that Ken is based off of, and it has nothing to do with a brother, and it's and he has a black mom, and it's just like...
Oh, it's a black kid still as the lead, the main?
Yeah, yeah. But essentially, like, it's really just about, like, the gun is a reveal. You know what I mean? Like, you don't know that it's about this thing. He's just, like, walking or whatever. It's just, like, it seems like a very grounded, you know, urban, inner city life kind of film.
And then, he's like, yo, and then,
and then all of a sudden, he, like, pulls out this alien gun and starts shooting with it. And you're like, whoa, what? Where did this come from? And then
but he has no white brother or white dad?
No, no, no.
That's I have to watch this.
But the short is like very, it's a short film. Like it's not a, you don't watch that and go like, I mean, I understand that they made a movie from it, but it's not, there is no, the movie premise has nothing to do except for the fact that this kid has a gun, a space gun.
But why does the kid, like why does he have a white family now?
Yeah, that needs to be explained.
Like what happened?
Well, how else were they going to get... Who is with the Dennis
James Quaid? Franco?
What do you mean, how else? Mary J.
James
Blige
Franco's
was...
a bad guy in that.
Was Oscar nominated this year?
Who?
Mary J. Blige?
Yeah, she...
Did she win?
Yeah, but how
she
else were they going to get Dennis Quaid in the movie is what I'm saying.
Oh. Some other way. How short was the short film?
Dennis Quaid is the father.
Dennis Quaid,
the
but I'm saying Dennis Quaid could have been somebody else. He could have played some other part.
You got to get Dennis Quaid.
They're going to get, like, Don Cheadle?
No, I'm saying they needed to get Dennis Quaid. Don Cheadle's busy being War Machine.
I mean, they couldn't get. do we not have enough black?
We could only call Don Cheadle or Dennis Quaid.
We only have enough money to fly in Passenger 57.
What? That doesn't.
I said we only have enough money to fly in Passenger 57.
I'm too sick for this. How did you even get your nose?
We only got enough money to buy in.
No, don't say it a third time. We don't want it. We know what you said. We don't need to hear it.
Your budget is limited.
No,
only so many airline tickets we can purchase.
One
of those tickets is for the Passenger 57.
Okay. All right.
So let's start the show.
Jonathan Braylock, James the Third, Drum Milligan.
What more can I say?
You know what it is.
Black men can jump.
Black actors, man.
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
Always bet on black.
All right, everybody's mics peaked.
Also, I feel like he didn't say it that loud.
Turn down their headphones. They're just like, ouch, 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 ouch.
Oh, wait.
Definitely didn't draw it out this much.
Bet on black.
Definitely didn't say it like that.
Also, that wasn't even, like, when he said it in the movie, I'm like.
I wasn't finished.
Wasn't he like a cool, like, he just said it in a cool catchphrase.
Oh, wait.
I think it was cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, right?
There was a
whoop. Yeah.
Pan up to it.
I also thought it was funny that he says, always bet on black. And then like two scenes later, the terrorist says, checkmate. And it was like, you're playing different games. Like you're not playing the same. Is that totally different?
All right, all right, all right. Before we get into this, my name is Jonathan Braylock.
I'm Jerome Milligan.
And my name is James the Third.
I heard it, so I'm okay with it. I heard him.
Yeah.
It's okay.
All right.
Into this 90s mood.
Yeah, you got to always bet on black.
Not even mad at that.
98.7 Kiss FM.
Not even, you gonna do the whole podcast like
that's
that?
That's right. Always bet on black.
Come to you now.
Stop it.
With some smooth jazz.
Yeah. That's it.
Okay. I thought you were gonna keep going, but you didn't.
Nope.
For those of you who are listening for the first time, welcome. I'm glad you joined us in the middle of a Wesley Snipes mini series. That's cool.
Everybody like Wesley.
For those first time listeners, we are a podcast that reviews films of leading black actors. And then we talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood.
Always bet on black actors.
Oh, I like that.
Good job, James.
Thank you.
We are doing a Wesley Snipes miniseries. From time to time, we like to take certain actors, prolific black actors, and then review a couple of their films in a row. We're doing Wesley Snipes. Last week, we reviewed the film New Jack City with special guest Gary Richardson. And today we are reviewing Passenger 57. Mm-hmm. Came out in 1992.
Yep.
Yep. On a very small action budget, $15 million.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, not that much.
Yeah, not that much.
Made $44 million.
Hell yeah.
And the reviews were not very kind.
Okay, well.
but it made him an action hero, though.
But
it was this movie that made him an action hero?
It's very well credited as the film that kind of made him an action star. Because before this, he had been in Major League. You know, that was his kind of like breakout role. He had been in Mo Better Blues. Played a pretty cool role in that. New Jack City, as we said, where he played an awesome villain. And I think Jungle Fever came out before this as well. But that, you know, so he was in two Spike films. And then this movie came out. And then shortly after this, White Men Can't Jump came out, which was like, I think, a surprise, huge box office hit. Box office hit. But this one did pretty well at the box office for a rated R action movie. You know what I mean? Like 40-something million dollar return on a $15 million movie was like pretty good for the early 90s for sure. And a lot of the reviews, though they panned the movie mostly for a formulaic script, they did like both Wesley Snipes and the main villain. I don't know that dude's name. Just some random white guy who I feel like we never seen again. What's his name? Bruce Payne?
Bruce Payne.
Bruce Payne.
The other movies he's famous for is Highlander, Endgame.
Okay, I was going to say, he wasn't the Highlander, right? That was other dude.
And apparently he was in a film called Dungeons & Dragons.
What do you mean, apparently a film called Dungeons & Dragons? You mean Dungeons & Dragons, that dope-ass movie?
Did you see Dungeons & Dragons?
Hell yeah! Yo, y'all didn't see Dungeons & Dragons?
Oh, Marlon Wayans in this
Hell
movie?
Hell yeah, Marlon Wayans is in that movie.
No, I didn't even know that was a movie. I thought that was a board game.
It is
game.
A game. It is a board game.
Yeah, it wasn't good. I mean, it wasn't good.
It stars Justin Whalen, who's... what do I know him from?
He was in Hocus Pocus, I want to say.
No, you know what I know him from?
Maybe
he was in Hocus Pocus, I don't know. But you know what I know him from?
What do you know
him from? He was Jimmy Olsen in the Lois and Clark TV show. Remember that?
Oh, I do remember that show.
I think he was awesome.
Jimmy Olsen. He was in Child's Play 3, apparently.
I love Dungeons & Dragons, that movie was bad. I'm sorry. I'm glad we're talking about it, though, because I thought Marlon Wayans was really great in it.
Are we going to skip Elizabeth Hurley, though?
Of course not.
What was that?
I don't know.
I love some Liz Hurley.
Elizabeth Hurley. This is, I feel like, one of her very early roles.
Yeah. Let me look on IMDb.
And spoiler alert, she lives in this movie, and she should have totally came back to be the villain in the second film of this franchise. But
there's a second film?
There's a second one?
There should have been.
Real quick, my dude was not in Hocus Pocus. I just wanted the audience.
Nobody really cared about that, but thank you for checking.
I just needed to know, you know what I mean? Serial Mom, that's what I know him from. Not Hocus Pocus.
Yeah, I think this is one of her first big movie roles in the States.
Yeah, she had like one other one before. But she had a couple films with like one other big one.
Yeah, a couple of TV shows.
I will admit, because I admitted to you guys off mic, but I didn't recognize her. And I'm upset now that I did.
I mean, she was pretty young.
The lead actress looks like Michael Jackson to me. Whole time I was like, this is like white Michael Jackson.
She looks like Michael Jackson?
She like white Michael Jackson.
Alex Datcher?
Does she not like Michael Jackson?
I mean, I didn't see.
That's a weird thing to say because I'm like, I was physically attracted to her.
Michael Jackson was pretty. I'm a handsome man. You kidding me, Michael? I'm a handsome dude. You ever see that video when he's like, leave me alone, and his hair's all flowing in the car, and he's going like the little tabloid. He's like a little
Leave Me Alone is a great video.
Yeah,
it's a great video.
What?
Glad
man.
We're talking about a lot of stuff that I really enjoy. Can we just talk about this?
Remember what? This
I don't want to get into Passenger 57 yet.
I totally want to get to it, by the way, but this actress was not in a lot of stuff. I feel bad.
She's like Michael Jackson to me.
She had a huge role In this movie, Passenger 57, that catapulted Wesley Snipes' action career, the next thing she does is like some, it had to be a straight to VHS film called Rage and Honor. And then she's just in two episodes of Street Justice.
Well, I mean, I would say,
couple of TV movies, just one episode of Star Trek and hanging with Mr. Cooper. And goodness.
Great show.
Well, she did hang with Mr. Cooper.
Great show.
That's important. But because of the climate, if this movie would have been better written for her, she probably would have done better after this.
But she like, you know, she did stuff in the movie. Man, that's crazy, dude. Nah, man, that's racism. All right. All right, listen. Before we get going, we should say. No, actually, we said everything we needed to say. We're going to do initial thoughts.
Okay.
Also, this movie is an hour and 18 minutes long. Here is the synopsis.
Whoa, an hour airline. 18?
No, it's like an hour 20 something. An airline security expert must take action when he finds himself trapped on a passenger jet when terrorists seize control of it. It was billed as Die Hard in the Sky.
Yes.
All right.
I agree with that.
You guys go first. No, wait. I should go first.
Okay.
Okay.
I should go first because I feel some sort of energy from this side of the room that I'm not appreciating right now.
Say it, brother.
So I'm going to talk about it first. This movie is dope, okay? Yes, it's a generic action movie. It's a generic action movie with a very jazz score. It's like...
Don't do the music. Are you doing Careless Whisper?
That wasn't the score, but it was a jazz score throughout the entire thing, which is so funny because it's so 90s. Like, it's so aggressively 90s. The 80s was all about what do you call it? Electronic.
Casio. It was all about a keyboard. Like,
all about a synthesizer. The 90s was all about like the trumpet and the clarinet. Like,
so bad.
It's so crazy how, like, oh my goodness. And this movie's like super short. And yes, the script is laughable because it's so ridiculous. But Wesley Snipes is so cool and he got to do so many cool things that black action heroes don't usually get to do. And he got to be really, the thing that I liked about this movie a lot is that he got to be really black, but also the action star. But they didn't ignore his blackness, but it wasn't like so much of a thing. He wasn't a Shaft, you know what I mean? He wasn't even Low Down Dirty Shame, you know what I mean? He was like, he was.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He was respected by
his white colleagues.
Confidently black.
He was confidently black, respected by his white colleagues, but like would say like, you know, he would, hey, it's a black thing, you know what I mean? Or always been on black, of course.
Comfortably black.
You know, but got a little tussle with some law enforcement who didn't know them because he was in the South and those racist cops. And you got to beat up some racist cops. You got to do some karate chops, throw them over some stairs. That was dope as hell.
Hell yeah.
He got to be sexy. Of course, all of the women who found him attractive were light-skinned black women. That was definitely a thing that I noticed. But at least he got that sex appeal that sometimes those black action stars don't get to have.
Which is nice.
He got to be cool. He got to talk back. You know, he was the Bruce Willis of this movie. Now, could this script have been better? Sure. But let's be real. Most action scripts are not that great. And it was fun. And it was short. So you got in, you got out. And the villain was... Honestly, I thought the villain was really cool. I thought it was like a formidable villain. You know, they built that up. So the tension between them was there. And yeah, man. Passenger 57, dude.
Yeah.
James, you like to go?
All right. Y'all.
Want me to go? You want to? Yeah, okay, ahead. I'll go next. I'm not going to disagree with like the sort of like, it's totally an action movie. It's totally
I'm glad
action.
You're not disagreeing that it's an action movie. Glad we got that.
Yeah,
back.
You know what I mean? I don't disagree that it's it's an early 90s action movie. Wesley Snipes is definitely like action star potential in this movie. He holds his own. We see my man shirtless meditating in one early scene, and he's just straight jacked for no reason.
Yo, he's shirtless.
There's no reason for all the muscles. Wesley Snipes.
He was shirtless in this movie?
Yeah, at the
beginning.
He
was shirtless in the beginning, meditating. But he was meditating.
Just too many muscles. So it was like, yeah, like, I appreciated all that. I appreciated the sex appeal, you know. I appreciated that because that's definitely a thing that we talk about not happening in a lot of movies. I mean, I didn't love it. I have to say, I didn't love it, but also just because it felt mad dated to me. Had I seen this movie before now? Because I loved Wesley Snipes growing up, and it was like he's an action star, blah blah, all that stuff. Like, I feel like Demolition Man was a big one for me, and others. So I had never seen this, and I didn't quite love it. It's, you know, like when it starts, I was super excited. Like, the villain was scary. They were like, he keeps changing his face. I was like, oh shit, what's about to happen? What are we about to watch? Like,
split the throat of that doctor.
What? Yeah, it was like crazy. And you know, he has his backstory is like very clear, and like we can tell that he's dealing with it. And like the music does a great job of like underscoring and like having us like really feel for him, you know, with that saxophone. But like, I mean, I, if you would have asked me, anybody, like, what is the end of the second act, the beginning of the third act of Passengers 57? Like, where does that take place? Nobody's going to say, county fair. Like, nobody's gonna say, oh yeah, Passenger 57, the end of the second act, beginning of the third act definitely takes place in the county fair. No, nobody's gonna say that because that doesn't make any sense.
Hey man. What? He got to jump off a merry-go-round.
No. That was so crazy. He got to
be on a Ferris wheel, man.
I just the tension immediately goes away, like just right in the middle of the movie. The plane lands and there's just no tension for so long. It was like, what's going on? Like, what's happening? So that's probably what took me out of it the most. But this movie has a black director who is a very prolific TV director now. I appreciate that. I appreciate you know, it does definitely hit all the beats of a typical action film, and I feel like it's successful in that way. And like, and Wesley Snipes did his thing. So, you know, I didn't love the movie, but like, mad respect to the black people that made this movie.
Yeah, I just want to clarify. I feel like John thinks that I'm going to say I don't like this movie. First, I'm a Wesley Snipes stan. Okay. All right, and to address Jonathan Braylock, you are 100% correct. Fuck this movie, okay? This movie was... The thing is, Spike, I mean, like Wesley's so good, but this movie was so utterly bad to me that I don't remember it. So you guys talking about certain parts, I remember watching this movie and forgetting what I saw right before it. And the thing is, I totally understand this launched his career, so I'm super happy for that. But I think for me, I grew up watching action movies, and I can tell this is a diehard knockoff. But Die Hard is one of the best action movies ever made to me. And this is, first off, you can tell, the thing that made me so sad about it is that you can tell that Wesley Snipes actually knows martial arts when he actually squares up to fight people.
Yeah.
But the action scenes are so poorly directed that you can't, it's wasted. You know what I mean? Like, there's honestly no huge set piece to me in this. It's just.
What about that Ferris wheel though?
Bro, honestly, I don't know. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Yeah, but the fan.
Did you watch the movie?
No, the fan.
Is that when he spots the bad guy holding the gun and he jumps off the Ferris wheel into the guy?
That's the merry-go-round.
Yeah, that's the first, right, yeah.
The first, they're shooting at him and he runs and he jumps on the Ferris wheel and it goes all the way up. And then right when it gets to the top, the person who's doing the Ferris wheel inexplicably stops the Ferris wheel and then runs
away. It doesn't make any sense. No one knows why. He wasn't threatened. Nobody made him do this.
But my favorite thing about it is that there are gunshots happening, so it's like I could buy him running away. What I can't buy is him stopping.
Yeah.
Like, why did he stop it? Unless they were trying to say that it could only go if he's operate, like he had to constantly be operating it or something. Maybe that's true.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. Honestly.
It's a really short movie.
Sorry, I'm kind of sick, but every time I think about this movie, I'm like, Why? Like, why do people think this was good? Like, at what? Like, I'm curious to know what John's going to say.
Critics didn't think it was good.
Yeah, critics didn't think it was good, but totally get the premise of Passage 57, and then like maybe even on the page, I'm like,
technically, because think about all the, even
we don't even know he passes 57.
No, we do.
She skips over him. She goes to passenger 58.
She goes 57, and then their history just fills up the rest of the word.
She's counting. She points at him and says 57.
She skips.
But I swear that. Okay, I know you're still in the middle of your initial thoughts, but if they would have just, because they held that for like three scenes, if they would have just kept that through the rest of the movie, it would have been an infinitely better movie to me.
He got off the plane and she didn't.
Yeah.
She got off the plane with him, maybe it would have been a better movie.
Would have been a much better movie.
But here's the thing. The reason I think people like it, though, is because you really only had, outside of the blaxploitation action heroes, you really only had Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah.
And Beverly Hills Cop is great, but Eddie's a comedian, so he's doing a comedian thing, and it's not a pure action movie.
Yeah.
Whereas Wesley Snipes is giving you the one-liners, you know, he's just being like just like a complete like awesome fighting bad dude, and he gets to be a little bit more black, I think, than Eddie was. Like, Eddie was like the fast talking black, like streetwise fast talking kind of person. Whereas like Wesley Snipes was just like what? Like, I don't know. He was just mad aggressive to like everybody, unnecessarily so, but like mad aggressive to everyone. I don't know.
I did think it was realistic how the white cop treated him.
Yeah.
Even when they found out he was someone important, they still treated him like trash.
Right.
Only thing I didn't like is how he was like cracking jokes with them at the end. Hey, that's you on the plane?
Yeah.
Yeah, in the flesh. I'm like, fuck that dude. That dude was an asshole.
Well, he was making fun of him, to be he was like,
it should have been one scene where he got to smack him at least. Like one good smack or karate kick to
the
face.
The main guy? Yeah, but he got to beat up. He got to beat up four cops.
He did. No, he got to beat up four cops. But the dude that was worse to him didn't get any.
He just made fun of him the whole time.
Yeah, I do realize that white cop was meaner or ruder to Wesley Snipes than the white bad guy was. Think about it. Think about who addressed him with more respect. Think about it. Of course, the villain was trying to kill him. But who was the one really
bringing up Then the white cop did respect him.
Because he saved the day? Wait, this nigga had to save a fucking plane?
Before he saved the day, he was driving with him. He gave him his gun. He was like,
because the nigga had just did a shootout with the plane.
No,
my man had to literally try to put his life on the line for you to respect him. Like, you tell me the bad guy had more respect for Wesley than the cop until Wesley literally had to get in a shootout?
The bad guy didn't have respect for Wesley in the beginning.
The bad guy hated everybody, but the bad guy didn't treat him like a black dude. He treated him like a person trying to stop me from killing everybody. Who the one who literally kept referring to his color?
That's so real.
You're right.
That white dude hated everyone equally.
That white dude didn't care about everyone's lives equally.
Who referred to Wesley Snipes the most in the movie? The white cop. Literally, the whole time you referred to... Matter of fact, that white cop believed the villain on the plane faster than he believed Wesley, and Wesley showed the nigga his ID.
I know.
He gave him the ID.
I know. That was messed up. And that's why I liked it. I liked that part.
No, that part was... how he handled that situation was great, because I'm like, yeah, you know, whatever. But still...
All right. This is a real quick thing, but before we really get into it,
we're going to take
a little break.
We got to talk about this movie more?
Of course. I love it.
I thought we finished it.
We're
done, right?
We're going to talk about it, baby, because we got to talk about it.
Why are you so happy? I thought we done. What else is it? He's a passenger.
Before
on the plane.
We do, we have a quick word from our sponsor. We'll be right back.
What's up, folks? This podcast is sponsored by Earnin'. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn could be in your hands today with Earnin'. Earnin' is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day. Or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin' app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Think about it. Say you're going out for a special date, or it's getting hot, y'all. You might need a fresh outfit for brunch or something nice. Or maybe you just want to feel good and take yourself to dinner. Earning can help you today. Make earning a part of your financial routine. Enjoying earnings over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about earning, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind. Mm-hmm. Download Earning today. That's spelled E-A-R-N-I-N in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earning app, type in Jump Under Podcast when you sign in. It'll help the show out. Jump Under Podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period. See earning.com/DOS for details. Earning is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Priceline presents Go to Your Happy Price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else, like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or 5-star hotels for 2-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, this is Tim Heidecker, and I'm glad to be back in Glendale, California, in the studio with my good friends DJ Doug Pound and Vic Berger, for another episode of our podcast, Office Hours Live. This week, we had a very special guest, Hiss Golden Messenger, who played a beautiful tune for us. We laughed, we had fun, and you should tune in to Office Hours Live this week, and quite frankly, every week on your podcast app of choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live.
Today, we're sponsored by Squarespace.
Ooh, squarespace.com.
www.squarespace.com.
Okay, James, we're not at the end yet.
We just started.
We got to talk about how awesome Squarespace is first.
Yeah, with the drag and drop tools.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes, they have drag and... Yeah, I mean, that's the first thing. Okay, we'll talk about the drag and drop tools.
Yeah.
Here, listen, if you need to create a website, and the fact of the matter is, most of us do.
Yep.
Okay,
yes.
You live in the 21st century. Mm-hmm. If you're not online, technically you don't exist. It's a weird rule that's been made.
Yep.
And, you know, you can make websites for so many things. If you're an artist... if you're a business owner, if you just want to share, you know, some drawings that you've made, if you want to put on your work resume, if you just want to have fun and put up a website, sell some merch, you know, a website, Squarespace is where you go to create that website.
Yes.
They have great tools like drag and drop.
Oh,
they
have
templates,
beautifully award-winning templates that you can choose from. It's so easy. No need for coding or any of that stuff.
Nope.
Very intuitive.
But if you know how to do that HTML, you can do that too.
You could do that too.
What?
And they have hosting. You can pick your own domain name.
Lit.
Yep. JamesThirdComedy.com.
JohnBraylock.com.
Okay. I'm still working on my website. It's a work in progress.
Okay, well, so. blackmenpodcast.com then.
We get
hell yeah.
Listen, we all got websites with Squarespace. It is crisp. It is clean. It is amazing. 24/7 customer service. And here's the thing.
What?
If you use our offer code, and we pray that you do, use our offer code.
We sure
and
do.
Not any other podcast, because if you use another podcast, you're racist. Just kidding. But really, you should use ours. Our offer code, J-U-M-P, jump. You enter it, you get 10% off your first purchase. How about that?
Jump.
How about that?
10%.
How about that? www.squarespace.com.
J-U-M-P. Jump. Offer code. Use it. Make it with Squarespace. All right, we're back.
Yeah.
Finally.
Okay, passenger 57 okay. Starts out.
Oh, no.
The beginning of this show.
Someone's snoring.
No. The beginning of this show is dope as hell.
The dude is in scrubs.
The dude is in scrubs and a bunch of people looking over him. And you're like, why is the patient in scrubs? That doesn't make any sense. Is he a doctor? And somebody stands over him and they're like, you know, all right. They have a knife. Like, he's about to use a scalpel. He's about to get the, you know, what do you call it?
Anesthesia.
Anesthesia. And he's like, no. No anesthesia. And he's like, but we need to.
But you need it. We're going to take off your face.
They're like, you need it for your pain. And he goes, there will be no pain. And I was like, what does that even mean?
I was so confused. Like,
they were like,
we don't know what's happening yet.
We don't know what's happening.
We just know he's the bad guy. We just know, like, oh, this dude, like, something's not right. Like, this guy's freaky. Like, he's kind of scaring us. And then the doctor looks at the clock and he's sweating, and you're like, oh, something's up. And then we cut to the FBI. And they're like, they got their guns ready, and they're like, all right, he's in there. This dude keeps changing his face. You know, he's a terrorist. He's bombing a bunch of places. This is our only shot to take him down.
Yeah.
You know?
Hell yeah.
He's in plastic surgery. We got to get him. And then he goes, doctor, what time is it? What? What time is it? It's noon. And then he inexplicably, I don't know. I honestly, this makes no sense because, the question is, why did he... No,
he didn't need to.
...plan this plastic surgery?
He didn't need to.
How did he know that these cops were coming? And if he knew they were coming at 12, why didn't he set his appointment for early? I don't know.
Yeah, but he didn't... This was frustrating to me because these were unnecessary lives lost.
But he slits that doctor's throat.
Didn't need to do that. He did not.
The cops burst in. He runs away. He jumps out of a window. It's like three stories.
Yes.
I don't get what's happening.
And
he's running away from the cops. What do you mean?
He survives by sliding off of an umbrella.
Yep. And into some chairs. And then
this
the cop.
Bad.
And then he gets up so in good. Seconds. He's gets like up a, in seconds. Some kind of a superhero guy.
And then the people are shooting at him. He's like dodging it and he's running or whatever. And then finally. He like a cop car like kind of takes him out. He like goes over it, and a bunch of water bottles spill on the ground, and he's caught. Mm-hmm. And then we cut to Wesley
we're on
Snipes.
A plane. Wesley Snipes is robbing, and I'm like, this is what this movie's about.
Were you confused?
I got the
no.
Okay, I was.
All right. How are you not confused?
I was confused. I was like, this is what this movie. I didn't know.
I instantly thought it was a training session.
Damn.
Like the thing is, because I knew he was the good guy.
All right,
like it was. Like,
I mean,
just,
I was like,
just,
so what I was thinking. So I was developing a new plot in my head. I was
I like this.
I was like, okay, he's some kind of a villain, you know? But when he sees that they're hostage takers, he's like, has a heart of gold. Mm. You know what I mean?
Right.
I was like, oh snap! Like that's what's gonna happen.
Well. Gerard was right. It was a training yep. session.
Whatever.
And the woman who was the flight attendant decided to get cute and knee him in the shin or like kick him in the shin so that the other federal marshal who's on the plane could take away his gun. And he's like, never do that. You always listen to the hostage. If you have someone who has a gun to your head, you listen to them. And he's like really adamant about it. He's like yelling at him. You're like, whoa, like what? Where is this coming from? There's a little backstory mm-hmm. we don't know about yet. Mm-hmm. Okay, but it's laying that groundwork.
Sure is.
And she's like, whatever. And he goes off. And then like, then we meet, you know, his not his partner. I guess technically his boss.
Sizemore.
Yeah, Tom Sizemore, who I love in this movie. I think he's so dope.
Yeah, he's great in this. And this character, like, he's a colleague of some kind. Like, he's a boss. Right. He's a
he's getting him work. And he's like, dude, what are you doing? You got to get back in the game. Your wife died. It sucks, but you got to get over it. You know, you can't be just doing these training sessions. And he's like, I like these training sessions. And he's like, you're the best in the business. I set up this meeting for you. I hope you're there for yourself, man. For yourself. Cool, real simple, you know. And then he goes to the meeting.
He goes to the meeting.
I mean, I get this part. This is the classic, I retire, but you about to get me back in the game.
Right. Yeah. And it's cool. It's like, he's the vice president of security or something.
He just had to be on the plane. Is that what it was? Like, what was his job?
So why was he on the plane?
Yeah, he just...
They were sending him to L.A. for the conference that was going to happen, and he was...
Where was he flying from? New York?
He was, not at work.
Where was he flying from? I just knew they were in the air, and I was like, where the fuck is... Where are we going? Where are we coming from?
Where were they going to?
Where are they coming from?
But where were they going to?
They were going to L.A.
L.A. I knew that part.
Yeah, it must have been somewhere on the East Coast.
Let's say Florida.
It could have been Florida.
Why not?
But, I mean, it doesn't really matter.
I was just wondering.
Yeah. It was somewhere in the... And also, did you guys catch all the datedness of, flight? Wesley Snipes at some point rattles off, there have been, 37, hostage situations on planes and stuff. And I was like, good Lord. Was this really happening?
Yeah, in three years. But yes, the datedness of security was crazy because Homeboy was just walking him to the plane and could go through.
I mean, remember those? Those days?
I honestly do not.
I don't. Oh, I don't remember it remember. Just being a simple metal detector.
I actually only went on a plane once before 9/11.
TSA technically started after 9/11. Like, you used to be able to walk up to, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm pretty sure someone on Twitter will.
Yeah.
But there was somebody actually stopping it soon, which is stupid. But,
Well, it's they still had metal detectors and baggage checks, but it was clearly much more lax.
Yeah. Yeah.
And clearly many more ways in which people could sneak weapons onto a plane, because apparently in the 90s, a hostage situation on a plane was something that people thought about all the time.
Yeah.
And I guess and he said, I don't know if those statistics were real. Maybe they weren't real, but he was like, every major airline has had a hostage situation except for one. You know which one that is? These rare Israeli Air. Because it's
Israelis. They don't fuck with the Israelis.
And I was like, damn.
Okay.
That's real.
Fact.
Have you ever flown on Israeli Air? When I went to Israel, they grill you. there's the airport security, which is already intense. I'm talking about JFK airport security. And then after you get past that, Israel has their own airport security, which you have to go through as well.
Wow, I didn't know that at all.
And they question you. There are so many questions. And I got taken to the back room and questioned. And then,
hey, John, you got gloved?
You went to that back room, though, son?
Oh, yeah, they gloved John, yo.
You went to the back room, though?
Gloved.
No, you know what the glove is, right? That's when they got
checked. No, I don't, because I've never gotten gloved.
I've been gloved, but not to the degree you're talking
you
about.
Been, you ain't been.
You're talking about prostate again?
He's talking about being fingered.
I got gloved too once.
Wow.
But I have been gloved. I have had someone need to pat me down excessively, and it was... I
stay getting pat down. After that black dude did a diaper bomb on the plane, I flew 2 days later. See, definitely got gloved.
Brother?
Definitely got gloved.
When he walked through the airport security... That black woman is checking him out, and then Tom Sizemore was like, "Man, how do you do it? Women falling all over for you, and you're just still super cool." And he goes, "Man, it's a black thing.
It's a black thing."
Was this written for a black dude? I couldn't figure that out. Was this made?
I don't know.
I feel like there are four black references that even if it wasn't written for a black guy, it was very easy for them to slip those in.
For sure.
I don't know. Four white dudes wrote it, so I don't know if it was originally written for a black person. Probably not. But I bet there was a rewrite that happened when they knew it was Wesley Snipes.
Yo, this is Wesley Snipes. Cool.
Oh, let's comment on his blackness.
You know what I'm saying? gets to the plane and tells him there's a surprise waiting for him. Did we ever figure out what that surprise was?
Nope.
No. And he was like, call me on the... When you get to the other... when you land, I have a surprise. There's a surprise for you.
So we never got that.
So we never knew what the surprise was.
Right. They just said that just to set Wesley up for the line. Was this what the surprise was?
Right.
But I don't remember that part either.
Yeah. Well, because he thinks that the surprise is the convict on the plane.
They're like, none of us knew that this was going to happen. The FBI can do whatever they want. Snipes, he also has that line where he says something like, you put a You put a bomb, whatever he said, like an air terrorist on a plane. What about a bus or a train or something like that?
Oh yeah,
you know what I'm talking about?
I remember that.
Yep.
But this happens like right, kind of happens right away, right? Like basically, like they get on, it gets on the plane, bro. And
yeah, it's really short.
And the
I don't remember anything. The flight attendant is there,
and he's like, okay, and then
she
like,
does the classic, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58. It's like a moment. It's a very weighted moment.
Does she not like Michael Jackson to you? I don't even mean that as a diss. Does she not resemble Michael Jackson?
You know, not in this movie, but I was just looking her up on IMDb, and the first two pictures, like, of her now, like, she still looked, yeah, straight up looked like Michael Jackson. Mike in the 80s.
According to IMDb, it was originally a vehicle for Sylvester Stallone.
Of course it was.
Yeah, was that
every late 80s, early 90s movie that didn't star Sylvester Stallone
was
action
turned
movie,
down by...
Was, yeah, was...
Okay, it was hilarious that the old woman that she that the flight attendant sits him next to mistakes him for Arsenio Hall.
Right.
That was so funny.
Yeah.
Did you not laugh at that? That was hilarious.
Honestly, when she started doing the woo-woo, I was like, honestly, guys, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm trying to be nice. I did. Everything about this movie, I was like, please cut.
But you didn't like the woo woo? In 1992,
yo,
that
when they
kills.
All woo wooed, like, I clapped.
And especially in 1992, at the, like, Arsenio Hall is the man. It's like a great bit for exactly that time.
No, you're probably right. I just was like, I'm just unimpressed.
First the Arsenio, and now this, he says. Those are the two things that were bad about the flight. The woman thinks he's Arsenio, and then a terrorist takes over. First Arsenio, now this.
First Arsenio, now this. Did you peep that he was reading The Art of War?
Yes.
That's what yeah.
But that's one of Wesley's favorite books, I think, in real life.
That's I thought that was cool.
That's also let you know, Wesley Snipes could probably legit kill somebody.
Yep.
I ain't messing with that dude.
Mm-mm.
Not today.
The beginning of this is fun, but why is he talking so loud in the bathroom? My man is talking full voice.
On the phone?
On the phone.
First of all, I was just like, wait, time out. How big is this plane? There's like seven. There's like six terrorists. Mm-hmm. There's, wait, hold on. Let's just count. You got Elizabeth Hurley, you got the main dude, you got the dude with the ponytail, you got mm-hmm. the dude with the long locks, you got the dude with the white, like nerdy looking dude.
Yeah.
And you got the dude downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
There are six terrorists.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There is zero chance that they could not all post up at a spot and see literally everything on this plane.
Makes no sense. Makes no sense.
Like, but no, they were somewhere else.
But like they the one dude, like, kept like peeking out. He kept like peeking. Also, like, when you take over a plane, like, shouldn't the first thing you do, like, after everyone's settled is like check the bathroom?
None of this moment made any sense. It didn't make any sense. He peeked out so many times at him. And the door moved enough for that when he peeks out again and the guy's walking towards him, it's like, the guy must see him. Like, why are you still inside?
Also, he sees the phone.
Also, should they have that anymore?
What?
The, like, phone on the plane like that, where you, like, put your credit card in a slot or something and it makes it work?
No, I haven't seen a phone on a plane.
I mean, they probably still have something.
I think the flight attendants probably have one.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he calls Sizemore back on the ground. And he tells them that there's a terrorist in the air, and they're like, okay, and they're scrambling, and you know, and then he gets found out that he's in the bathroom, but he knocks that dude out. Like, it's just, this is our first like action kind of scene. He like bangs his head on like the toilet. Dude gets the blue stuff, all water all over him, puts a gun to his head. Oh, but before this, we did learn about the backstory, how his wife died.
Yes, mm-hmm. And his wife died at a convenience store during a robbery, and the robber was like, yo, put your gun down or the woman dies.
And so he put the gun down. He's like, go ahead, nobody needs
He's like, no one, you know, I don't want to hurt.
I don't want to do, I'll do whatever you say. And then the guy's just like, shouldn't have stopped me in the first place.
Shouldn't have tried to stop. He's like, I won't stop you. I won't try to stop you. You shouldn't have tried to stop me in the first place. Kills his wife.
Kills her.
The only thing I didn't like about this, that goes down the ground and he's crying and then he says, it's not that bad.
I thought about that. I thought about that.
And I was like,
he probably was trying to tell you himself.
You got
to
edit that out.
No,
no, I'm not even going to put that on Wesley. That's on the editor. You got to edit that joint out.
Now he's trying to convince himself.
No, I think that was him trying to convince. That's what I've made. That's what I said. He's trying to convince himself. Like, it's not that bad. It's going to be all right. Because then the next thing he does is he like cries.
I know, but he was like, he's trying to like, okay, we can do this.
The next sound that comes out of his mouth is like a cry. Okay. So it seemed like he was like, it didn't seem like he thought that everything was going to be all right. Like it was okay. It was
I know, but is that a thing that, okay, maybe that's the thing that somebody would say.
Because he was talking to her. He was talking to her. You know what I mean? Like he was really talking to her. He wasn't talking like, you know what I mean? I felt it.
Okay. Okay. This was also the mad jazz scene, and he was like punching bag, doing his little karate kick.
The okay, shirtless. But then the saxophone lingers for. Yo, the saxophone in that moment lingers for so long.
I don't remember no shirtless scene at all.
Yo, it was shirtless. This is just because it was dated, but I almost laughed. The saxophone lingered for so much. It was just like, and he's always dealing with the death of his flag. It was like the sound of the saxophone was the memory. Okay, it's not funny, but it made.
Okay, and so
we got to the
so then the bad guy, he's like, put the gun down. He's like, put the gun down, or I'll kill this dude. He's like, I'll kill your friend. I have no friends. He picks up another guy, puts a gun to his head,
like a customer.
Yeah, passenger, and he passenger 50. No, I'm just kidding. And then he asks him, you know, do you have any children? He says, I have a daughter. And he's like, look at this daughter. There's a little girl out there who had a father until you try to stop me. And then he kills that dude. And he has a flashback.
Let me tell you what's so wild about that though. Maybe because I've seen so many action movies. In my mind, at that point, it's fucked up. But once he shoots the passenger and the passenger drops, I'm like, cool. Open, boom! I'm gonna shoot you and this dude. Like, cause he got the guy. Like, cause that's the moment in the movie where it's like.
Well, I think the reason that they showed the flashback was to show like.
Oh, he paused.
He paused, and when he paused, the guy grabbed another passenger.
And also, if he shoots him, cause he's clear, Elizabeth Hurley had the other flight attendant at gunpoint. So
she ain't fuck with him no way.
But she
ain't fuck with him, so I was like, all right.
But if Wesley shot him, she would have shot her.
She ain't fuck with
probably
him.
Probably not. She would have probably shot at Wesley, but.
Oh.
But then Wesley could have used the dude in front of him as a shield.
It's true, but I think the whole point is that like, he hesitated because he had a flashback.
Okay, that makes sense.
And then he grabbed another passenger. But then what happened? Like, oh, she. Oh, is it that. She hits Elizabeth Hurley, and then wait, what happens? How does he get out of this? I know that the main bad guy winds up killing the person that Wesley is holding. I know that happened.
Oh, and I think at that point, that's when the girl hits Elizabeth Hurley.
Yeah, and then they both run, and then they
maybe that's just it. He goes, I hate him. He says something like, I hate incompetence. Then he shoots that guy.
You're right.
And then in that scuffle, he runs with the other flight.
You're right.
Attendant.
He says, I hate incompetence. He kills his own person. Then they go downstairs. And
then my man, who is a henchman in so many movies.
Never trusting that dude.
It was just like, yo, well, look
funny,
at his
was like
eyebrows.
They trusted him, but then like he like didn't. He used his one opportunity of surprise terribly.
Yeah.
He like got a knife and was just like, I think we should listen to him. And then just pulled out a knife. And I was like, you should have said that while stabbing Wesley, not to square up against him.
No, but then how else would Wesley have known? And how else would Wesley
this is the first time we get to see Wesley like kind of really do his martial arts.
Also, I wanted to see Wesley knock people out. I felt like every time he got in a fight, he won, but it wasn't like he handled. Like, people kept getting up.
Yeah. He did knock this guy out.
He knocked him out a couple times.
And I did like that, you know, this is still pre me thinking, me being somewhat over the movie, because it was like all of that stuff happened upstairs, and then downstairs he immediately gets into, after a second of being like, oh, okay, he immediately gets into another fight. And I was like, oh, this is okay. This is movie's moving. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, that, but it felt like, because this plane was just a plane, they only had the two moves. It was like,
yeah,
the thing in the bathroom, they go downstairs, they have the fight downstairs, and they're like, well, now that's it. Like, what else can we do? And then they go, well, why don't we land the plane? They literally are like, well, we ran out of,
and then, but then, but they also
things to do.
But they could have, but a fun thing that's happening is they're like, we have to land here. And they're like, we're not equipped. We can't. There's no way to do it. And they're just like, make it happen. And then it just happens. Like, it just happens fine.
I think,
like,
the idea was that the runway was small, so it would be a hard landing, but not an impossible landing.
Yeah, like it would have been so cool.
But
if
you're
it was
right. Like when they landed, there was not that much tension.
Yeah, if like, yeah, if there was some way, you know, like the Ferris wheel is right by the
Can I tell y'all when I was over this movie?
By the way, they only had $15 million to make this.
Right.
Can I tell y'all when I was over this movie?
When were you over this?
When the plane landed. Mm-hmm. I was like, all right, didn't expect them to land in the middle of the movie. They better not go back in the air.
Oh, of course they're going to go back in the air.
Yeah, it's called Passenger 57.
No, they had to go back.
They shouldn't have landed.
He's Passenger 57.
They shouldn't have landed.
No, they had to go back in the air.
Turbulence stays in the air. That Liam Neeson movie? Mm-hmm. Stays in the air for most of the time.
Air Force One.
Is that Liam Neeson movie good?
Lapita's in it.
I haven't seen it.
Snakes on a Plane.
I love how that you just
Snakes on a Plane
completely dodged the question.
Yeah, is it good? Snakes on a Plane stay in the air.
You're right. But Snakes on a Plane had snakes on a plane, and that plane had two decks. That plane was ginormous.
Yeah, that was a great plane.
And that's the same thing with Air Force One, is that Air Force One is Air Force One. So there were like all these different rooms and stuff, like, and there are levels. Like in this movie, it was just a regular airline, like a regular jumbo jet. Like there were no levels. It was just straight through. And there's a, you know, bottom where the luggage is. And that was it. So, and I think that's because it only cost them, you know,
yeah, but
they only
like
had $15 million.
Like, what if, like, say they tried to land but they couldn't? There was some hanging action going on. He beats up the dude that goes down there. So it's like, oh, cool. Now they have to go back up because they can't land. They're gonna try to land somewhere else.
I was confused as to why the bad guys never tried to go downstairs after, except for when the bad guy finally did when they were about to land. Mm-hmm. And then when that happened, I was like,
why didn't he just shoot him?
One, they could go down here the entire time. And then two, why didn't Wesley Snipes monitor that situation at all? Like, he just assumed they were never going to come down?
Why did they didn't board the door? Also, the bad guy just looked at him, didn't shoot.
Yeah, that didn't make
any
sense.
Why didn't he shoot?
That said, this cop's stuff was the coolest stuff.
It was cool. I did, you know, it was to interesting. Me. I thought the cop missed not trusting him.
You know what? This movie was better off just focusing on that cop. It should have been called, instead of Passion 57, Black Men in America. And you know what the point of the movie is? Just to fucking survive. You know what I'm saying?
Here's a quote.
No, hear me out,
okay,
John.
Okay, fine.
Hear me out. Let me set up the movie for y'all.
Okay.
Wesley Snipes, retired anti-terrorist dude, all right? Just going to the airport trying to do his damn thing. Plane comes down. They see one black dude on the plane. Oh, man, why you sitting in first class? You know, bought a ticket. Arrest him. Let me tell you why they arrest him.
Immediately
he a
arrest
black dude. Look.
I bought a ticket. Arrest him.
The whole movie, this whole exchange with this white cop is him just being like, hey, man, look at my wallet. I'm telling you it's true. Did they try to follow up with it? No. Mm-mm. So my thing is, just make the movie what it is. That's a scary-ass movie. There's a black man trying to survive who know karate.
You know, I was thinking,
a nigga who know karate, James? That's a threat. That's a fucking
threat.
That's
the title of the movie, A Nigga Who Know Karate.
Let my man just try to make it through
a
mall.
Wesley Snipes is A Nigga Who Know Karate.
That's it.
Sorry, I was thinking, ahead, John, you know, at first, when they were on the, when he was walking through the, there is a horror movie scene in this movie. It's when they're walking through the fair, and then he walks into that room where it's just square dancing, and terrifying. It's a frightening scene. He's just walking in and just hear like ding 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 ding, and then they're just like doing square dancing, and he's like walking around like the camera is like cinema verite, like moving around like it's not a steady cam at all, and like there's someone stalking him, but he doesn't know who it is because just white people everywhere. Yo, he doesn't know.
I'm gonna tell you how crazy that shit is. My parents live in the South. I went to a Golden Corral once. Walked in, only black people there. And I was like, you know what? And matter of fact, only black people there. A lot of the older white people had on Confederate hats. And I was like, you know what? This ain't the place for us. And walked right the fuck back out. That's some scary shit. Because again, Definitely. The Confederate flag, and y'all just eating? Y'all just eating cornbread and shit, looking at me as I walk in here with my parents?
Their heritage.
The fuck? Sorry, John. What were you saying?
I just want to say this quote from the movie where... Wesley Snipes goes, I'm the good guy. I'm the head of security. And then the chief says, in my position, what would you do if you were me? What would you do? And Wesley Snipes goes, kill myself. That lie was fire.
It was great.
No, that right. line you're was
right.
fire.
You're right.
You're right. Kill myself.
You're right, 100%. 100%.
I was like, damn. Like, that was, honestly... Bet on black is the one that people say, but kill myself was the best line in the movie. Just hands down the best line in the movie. Oh, man, I loved it. There were so many... That guy was doing so many sexual entendres. Oh, that was funny when in the beginning the little kid was like, pew, pew, and then he like raises up his hand, his handcuffs on, and he's like... And the kid's just like, oh,
I ain't like that little kid. I ain't like his mom either.
Damn, what was wrong?
What's wrong with his mom?
What's wrong with
his mom seemed mean. I was like, you know what? I don't like this mom.
His mom was just concerned
before that even happened, I was like, I don't fuck with this mom. You know, that mom is the person who's gonna ask to see the manager. You know what I'm saying?
That's definitely
like,
her.
First off, she did. You know what you ordered. You need to see the manager. You went to fucking McDonald's. What you want? You want the ice cream machine to work? How the fuck you come to McDonald's?
She is the only person who asked if the convict was safe.
Like, also,
she's the only one.
Also, what type of dumbass question is that? No, that nigga just got handcuffs on. They ain't got no guns. He ain't in the front by himself. Matter of fact, let me tell you another thing that makes me crazy about this movie.
Yeah,
is that this villain isn't first class?
No, he wasn't in first class.
That was first class.
Was it first?
That
class?
That was first class, yo. That was first class.
Was it?
Yes, it was first class. He was in the front. Wesley was in the back.
Well, he honestly
was number 57.
Now that I think about it, yeah, of course he should be in first class. You gotta separate him from people. You know what I mean?
Put that nigga down below. Let's drop him down.
You're not allowed to do that.
Why not?
It's cruel and unusual.
Yeah, only one person is down.
No,
there.
They put the animals down there. Put that motherfucker down there.
Oh, that's fair.
Okay.
Bring the dogs up and put him down there. He was in first class. Wesley in the back.
I mean, it is fair to
do y'all see what Wesley had to go through in this movie that y'all like?
I know, but that's the point. That's why you like it. That's what happens to action heroes. Like, oh, I got to go through all this. I got to go through all this bull crap and then save the day. You know, and then he beats up all these white officers, which is really cool. And then he steals a motorcycle. And he breaks through the gate.
Don't remember any of this.
Oh, yeah, come on. Yeah.
This was cool. I thought this was cool. He stole the motorcycle. The cops immediately go after just him. I thought it was a very nice commentary on America.
Yeah. And then finally, the FBI gets there. There's a black dude who's in charge of the FBI, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And he was like, if your cops lay one finger on him, like, you better be searching for a new job or something like that.
They still don't get
it. And so they realize, oh, this dude is on our side.
But they still grab him up at one point.
Before that, he said, if that guy gets out of line, you shoot him. But in the leg, though, he might be telling the truth.
That was funny. I like that. That felt like the actor added that.
Yeah, yeah.
There are some lines in the script that I was like, this line is too good for this script. The writer didn't write this. In the leg, though, he might be telling the truth. That was funny. That was good. Yeah, then we get to James and Gerard's favorite set piece at a county fair.
You gotta stop.
Bruh, why are we even? Where are we not done?
Where they're pushing each other over.
Also, we're almost done.
The only thing that was kind of confusing about this was that the main bad guy says something to the extent of, like, find transportation. I'll handle John Connor or whatever.
Cutter.
I'll handle Cutter. But then the other guy.
The other guy handles
attacks Cutter first.
He's the guy who is following Cutter and doing a very good job of tailing him. So
why? I was like, wait, what? Did this plan get reversed or something?
Also, then we have the
merry-go-round.
Was he the only black dude at the fair?
No, I was looking because at first I was like, is this about to be the reason why we can't have a black James Bond or a black Batman?
Bro, we're never getting
them. They stick out like a sore thumb among a group of white people. But then as he got further into the fair, we saw more black people. But at first, for the first 10 minutes of him at the fair, he's the only black guy. But then as he keeps going, you start to see, like, black families and stuff. I was also expecting there to be a bunch of times where they would go up to the few black, because it wasn't, like, a ton of black people. The few black dudes with the same haircut as Wesley, like, grabbing him going, oh, okay, no, it's not him. Like,
also, I'm going to tell you what made me mad about this movie, and I know this is very nitpicky, but I got to say it, because it bothered me the first 5 minutes. I almost forgot about it until you brought that up. Why didn't give my man a decent fade? Like, straight up, they didn't blend it. He went from skin to a little bit, but it wasn't blended. It wasn't like a smooth blend. It was straight lines.
But maybe he ain't want.
Nah, nigga. Ain't no black man in America is going to say, hey, bruh, give me the skin and then just get the head to the top. You blend it.
It's the early 90s, you know?
No, bruh, that's when it was popping. That's when the fade was the thing. You ain't going to blend my hair, bruh. John, that's like you going to get your hair cut, right?
Uh-huh.
And like John got curls, people at home. That's like John going in and being like, hey, y'all see these curls? Fuck the curls. And all of a sudden you got patches of curls everywhere. Like that a Dalmatian. It's silly. It's silliness.
You're right.
That's like a black woman saying, hey, you know what? My edges, don't lay them.
I don't know. That's probably on Wesley.
Don't you think? Lay my edges.
Hey.
No, I know. Wesley probably was like, you know what, man? I'm a black dude. This is a great opportunity. I can't say nothing, but they fucking up my hair. Just like
the director was black. You know, Wesley Snipes did all his own stunts.
What stunts did he do?
All of them in this. Hung from the end of the plane.
When I was watching that,
fell down and rolled out.
When I was watching that plane thing, I was like, he definitely did this in real life. Because here's the thing about it: cinematically, didn't look that interesting, but the reality of what he was doing, is super scary and dangerous.
Yeah,
but. But especially for us today, we look at that and we're just like, well, this is boring. Because when Tom Cruise does his stunts,
I love him.
But what I'm saying is, when he's doing that, he's doing him on wires and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like Wesley probably like did this for real. Like no wires. Like he wasn't. You know what I mean? Like he jumped out of a moving plane or a moving vehicle of some sort.
Yeah, but
and he jumped from a car to a plane. On plane wheels.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
Mm-hmm.
That's scary.
That is crazy.
There were set pieces. Honestly, bro, I can't think of one set piece.
No, they did. I mean, they did.
But they were on the driveway, the runway, and he's driving the car, and he had to hang out of the car and jump onto the plane wheels.
Can I tell you
he also rolled out of the way of the plane wheels.
Can I tell you what's scarier than that?
First dropout. That was crazy.
I'm going to tell you what's scarier than that, okay? Being in D.C. Being in D.C., Blizzard of 96, but you ain't got no cable, so you want to wrestle, right? So you're like, fuck it, let's go outside, let's wrestle. You try to hit somebody with the Swanton bomb, but then you realize when you bomb them, all right, into the snow, they go all the way down into the snow, but right next to their head is a goddamn, what's the fire hydrant?
Nick that is died. Scary.
That's some scary shit.
That's pretty scary. I don't know if it's scarier than this, and it is reckless.
Wait, anybody ask you was it reckless or not? Okay, jumping out of a damn plane. Jumping out of a plane for a mediocre stunt, that's reckless.
A mediocre stunt?
This is 1992.
They were kind of in on him.
Have you seen Die Hard? Die Hard came out in 88.
I know.
Yeah.
It had a little bit more of a budget.
Some stunts.
Did it?
It had 28 million. I looked it up.
But think about it, though. I mean, like, you know, if he didn't do his own stunts, the movie probably wouldn't have been nearly as... I mean, I didn't love all of this stuff, but like, it wouldn't have been nearly as cool.
Well,
they,
he gets
push
back onto that plane.
You like see it.
And then he kills that dude.
Yeah.
And then Elizabeth Hurley gets knocked out.
Yep.
And then they're like, there's only one more guy. And then he fights him. And then that's it. Somewhat anticlimactic.
When the movie ended, when the fight was done.
How does it?
He throws him out.
I remember that. He falls all the way out of the thing. That's crazy. And then
the plane just lands.
The plane just lands and he's like.
Which I don't understand because I feel like if a door, the exit door of a plane got sucked out of the plane, mm-hmm. I feel like that does something bad.
Yeah.
They were smiling. I was like, don't they all have to put on an oxygen mask? Isn't like all the oxygen gone from this?
Yes, John. Yes, you're right. Yes, John, you're right.
And also, like, isn't the force, like the suction force, like really, really.
They could have.
Strong?
They could have. Well, I mean, you know, sometimes cabin. I don't know.
Pressure?
So, yeah, sometimes cabin pressure is compromised and planes can land. I don't know if to that degree, though, you know.
I don't know either.
I don't know if to that degree they can land and it's fine, but.
Isn't there something about, like, if there's, like, if the cabin pressure gets out of whack. And like a gun goes off, couldn't that explode the plane?
Yep.
Is that
right,
a real thing, or is that a thing that I learned from movies that's not real?
You probably learned it from Mythbusters.
Is it real?
That could explode the whole plane? Well, the one thing that I know is a window can break, and the plane will need to do an emergency landing, but like it won't like just completely lost, break apart, and then everyone's...
I mean, the door fell off that.
But that, but right, exactly. I don't know anything as far as that.
I think.
Wait, before we finish, we have to say the final thing, which is he gets the girl.
He does get the girl.
Does he though?
Yeah.
He says, he's like, how you doing? Single, but I'm working on it.
First of all,
when was he working on it?
Can you believe it? Can you believe it? He said, what's your status?
Oh, yeah.
Single, but I'm working on it.
Yes, I can believe. Yes, I believe that. This is an action movie. What
the hell's wrong with you? Literally, like we had like a dozen people die today. A dozen.
No.
We had.
He has to crack a joke.
At least six federal officers. An airplane pilot.
No, he needs to.
Two passengers and like five terrorists died today.
Yeah, but he survived. he survived. He needs to get his action movie joke at the end. And that's what if anyone steps to him, that's what he says.
Also, I was
you know what I went through to get to say this?
Also, I was like, man, my man didn't even get a chance to like woo her. You know what I'm saying? For her to grow to like him. You know what I mean?
If she would have got off the plane with him, infinitely better movie.
I'm just saying, like, she didn't get a chance to, like, actually fall in love with that dude.
Well, you're right. They had some time bonding down there, and then they were like, but you're right, there wasn't, like...
Literally, he gets kicked off the plane, she saves him, and then he's back to save the day.
What happens when he gets back on the plane with them?
Like, he doesn't see her. That's the thing. He doesn't see her until the end.
Where he saves her.
Yeah, so, like, it's not even like... He's like, hey, man, I'm back. Shh, keep it quiet. And she can have the moment of smiling and be like...
They didn't have a relationship in this movie.
Then they walk, and then the cop comes over and he says, it's a long ride. You wanna walk or you wanna ride? And they go, walk. And then he goes, it's 5 miles. And then he's like, they're like, okay.
I'm gonna tell you something that's even crazy.
And then he goes, oh, and do you have my gun? And then What's-His Life just goes, ha, 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 ha. And the cop drives away. And I was like, you couldn't just say it fell out when I was on the runway. He just laps and then keeps walking.
Yeah.
But I kind of like that because I was like, he just disrespects this cop the rest of the movie. And the cop just is like, oh, John Cutter. Like, I'm like, what? It's kind of funny. All right. All right, Giraffe.
I would do. A Dear Hollywood, but honestly, y'all, if y'all can tell, my voice is gone, and I don't think I would make it through A Dear Hollywood. So I'm going to simply say this. I'm going to leave y'all with this little piece of knowledge, okay? Is that this movie should have just been black man in America. You ain't had to put him on no plane. Or if you'd made this movie, just make the movie about him having to go against the cops to prove he's a decent human being. 100% better movie. See, my voice already leaving. Sorry, I got nothing else. I told you I was going to keep going.
I mean, so here's just my...
That's it? You're
I just have a question.
I told you I can't. You won't go through.
I just have a question.
All right, wait. Before you... Okay, go ahead.
Before I ask my question?
I was gonna say what actually happens if a bullet blows out a window.
Oh, great. This is
cool. I got this from How Stuff Works. If the bullet blows out a window, that's a problem. A big one. When the window blows, the plane will depressurize over the course of several seconds. Since all of the air in the cockpit is rushing toward the missing window, a lot of debris will be heading in that direction with it. If the person sitting next to the window isn't strapped in, then it's possible that he or she will get pushed out. Another good reason to wear a safety belt at all times.
Which is also why, if you notice the third pane inside the window, the one with the little hole, is there to keep the pressure from, you know.
Right. In the meantime, the loss of cabin pressurization creates a problem for everyone on the plane. Commercial airline flying at 30,000 feet is flying slightly higher than the peak of Mount Everest. The air at this altitude is so thin that a person will become incoherent in a matter of a minute or so without supplemental oxygen. That's why they have oxygen masks. If the bullet hits wiring, or worse, if the bullet hits something important like the instrumental panel in the cockpit, it could cause problems that range from trivial to severe. The damage depends on what gets hit and how important it is.
Damn.
Finally, there's the problem of the fuel tanks. Commercial jets store a lot of fuel in their wings, but there are... blah, blah, for example, 747. Bullet were to puncture a tank, it would at least cause a leak and would have some potential to cause an explosion. All right, that's all.
Okay.
Ba-doop, ba-doop. What you got to say, James?
Well, I just had a question.
What's your question?
So, who would win in a fight?
Wesley Snipes.
You think between John Cutter, it's not just Wesley Snipes, I mean specifically John Cutter and Hancock.
Hancock.
You think Hancock?
I think John Cutter.
No, no, no. Time out.
You think Cutter?
I don't think Blade. It is a fact that Hancock would win in a fight.
I think John Cutter would turn into Blade. So
wait, John Cutter would turn into Blade?
No, that's not a thing that can happen.
I don't think that can happen.
It is.
I mean, John Cutter. I mean, jumping from plane wheels. You know,
Blade don't die.
But I'm not talking about...
Okay, first of all, Blade can die. And second of all, Hancock can't die. There's no known weaknesses for Hancock.
Blade would chop off
his
head.
But I'm saying...
He's got bulletproof skin.
Blade would chop off his
head. He can fly. He's got super strength.
But does he know martial arts, though?
He's got bulletproof skin.
Does he know martial arts?
Blade would suck his blood, become more powerful.
He's not Blade. But he's not Blade in this one. He's not...
You always Blade.
He's always Blade?
I think it's one of those things where, like, you know how the Power Rangers say it's morphin' time? Once John Cutter starts losing, turns into Blade, Hancock done. It's
okay.
It's not a real thing.
All right. I say, you know, I think what would happen is they would have one of those moments like when the Hulk and somebody of equal strength, like when they punch each other and it makes like a boom, you know, and like it's the equal. It's like the equal thing, and they blow back because they had equal force.
It's time for the cause. We rate and review films not based on how much we liked, but
Blade
whether or not they serve the cause of more leading black actors in Hollywood.
It's like when they both hit.
And then Blade gonna win.
It's like the same. You know, it's like there's pushback.
Yeah, and then Blade wins.
It's like a...
If we believe the film fully helped the cause, we give it a black fist.
Yup.
If we think it somewhat helped the cause, we give it a white palm.
Yeah.
If we think, hey, man, this film didn't help the cause at all, we don't give it anything. So... Gonna throw up our ratings for this movie,
shit.
Passenger 57, starring Wesley Snipes, on the count of three. One, two, three. That doesn't make any sense. But two black fists, one white palm.
I gave this movie a white palm. This
why?
Is Gerard Milligan. Gerard Milligan gave this movie a white palm.
This is Gerard Milligan.
Now, the only reason this movie got... There's only two reasons why I gave the movie a palm and not nothing.
Oh,
one, because I really love Wesley Snipes, so it was hard for me to give him nothing. Two, is because technically we got Wesley Snipes' action hero out of this, so it means we got Blade. But also, I think Wesley Snipes is more than just like the action hero dude. I think Wesley Snipes is just a good actor. So, like, again, I'm happy I had this opportunity. It's great. The script was weak. This movie was boring. Honestly, listening to John and James talk about this movie made me hate it even more. There are parts they're talking about that I watched this movie. Matter of fact, I remember watching this movie and not doing anything else, and I still ended up forgetting half the shit that happened, apparently. The only thing I really liked about the movie is that the racist white cop was there and wasn't nice to him, because I thought that was pretty real. The woman who reminds me of Michael Jackson distracted me, maybe because I watched it on Michael Jackson's birthday. Maybe that was a thing. What else? I hated... excuse me. I hated his haircut. He did not blend his fade. It was so disrespectful. He's way too handsome for that. That's it.
All right. I gave this movie a fist because it obviously deserves a fist.
Bullshit.
Because even if it is a dated action film, generic action film, it's still an action film starring a black man who gets to beat up some white cops. You know, the script wasn't so great, but Wesley Snipes was awesome. And it set the tone, man. It allowed him to become an action hero. Because of this movie, we got Blade. You know, because of this movie, we got Wesley Snipes in The Art of War, even though that's not a good movie. You know, he got to face against Sylvester Stallone in Demolition Man, you know? So Wesley Snipes is dope, man. He ruled the 90s. He still got to do a bunch of other stuff.
Yep.
And people were like, oh, yeah, black people can be action stars. And more than just black people will watch those movies. You know, it doesn't have to be a black exploitation film. The black action hero doesn't have to be cleaning up, you know, drugs on the street. He could be fighting terrorists, too. So, you know, that's why I gave Passenger 57 a fist.
I gave Passenger 57 a fist for the same reasons that Bray gave it a fist. Bullshit. Because Wesley Snipes is a straight-up action hero. And he is a, you know, it's not like, oh, let's make a huge deal out of the fact that he's black. But you know what? We're not going to be ashamed of the fact that he's black. We're going to always bet on black. We're going to have a black man jumping out of planes, hanging on plane wheels, doing martial arts, like a straight up badass. He got a fine black chick that he's, I guess, in a relationship with. They don't do enough to talk about that, but we get to see black love happening. And it's a black director, and it's just like, oh, Passenger 57. Oh, you know what I'm talking about? For that reason.
Okay. Well, we did it. Passenger 57.
Wow.
Some of y'all were like, yeah, thank you, John. And some of y'all were like,
why don't y'all do Blade 2?
Screw you, Gerard. No. Next week, we're going to be doing Blade 2.
Finally. Directed Blade by Guillermo del Toro, starring motherfucking Wesley Snipes.
Gonna conclude Wesley Snipes miniseries for now. Don't worry about other movies. Yes, at some point we'll probably do Jungle Fever. We're just not doing it right now.
Some other trilogies too. I feel like we need to do a black actress next. You know what I mean? Maybe like Halle Berry.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or
let's do it.
You know, get some stuff out there. You know what I'm saying?
Let's do it.
You can follow us at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website. Please rate and review us on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. If you rate and review us on iTunes and give us 5 stars, we will read your review live on the air. How about that?
Cheer.
You can follow me personally at John Braylock, JonBraylock. James?
You can follow me at James Third Comedy, JamesThirdComedy.com. Third is 3RD.
I think I regressed on social media, so I got rid of Instagram, but I got Twitter. So tweet at Dry Milligan.
You got rid of Instagram?
It started messing up my mood. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, it just felt so fake. I'm like, all I'm doing is comparing my life to how great my friends were skydiving.
I feel you.
Like, y'all ain't got no goddamn job? How the hell you stay on trips?
Damn.
Shit.
Also, we wasn't meant to be in the sky like that.
Hell no. That's what we got the ground for.
That's what the ground is here for.
Also, didn't you just go on vacation?
Is that Arturo? Because I saw that too.
I was like, come on, brother.
I didn't see it.
Also, if you are in New York City, come on by every Monday, except for the third Monday of the month. Astronomy Club performs at UCB East Village Theater, Mondays, 9 p.m. So come on out to that. We'd love to see you there.
And again, we are trying to get a new logo. And this is the thing, guys, just to clarify things here, is that, yes, if you submit something, we will, like, choose somebody. And we will make sure the person whose logo we choose are compensated. We'll like hook y'all up. We just ain't gonna do, you know, crazy shit, because that's how competitions work. Usually people submit things for free, and then if they get chosen, you know, they get taken care of in some type of way, you know. So please submit stuff. We would love for it to come from our fan and paying somebody, because we feel like you guys listen and it just seems like a way to connect with y'all. Thank you.
Cool. This is from somebody called Always. Their 324 just says, yo, this is legit my new favorite podcast.
Okay.
I love black films, and I'm so glad that they can be reviewed in a funny way.
Dope. Quick and positive. I was just, John set it up like it was going to be a Hoosier paragraph, but that was just like a sentence. I dig it.
Yeah. I'm still not reading this long review about the N-word.
Oh, yeah. We forgot to do the research.
I didn't.
We were just here. I just realized.
Yeah.
We just recorded.
Yeah.
Not that much time has passed. Closest together we've recorded in a long time.
That's because you're in New York right now, James.
Yeah. Hey.
All right, guys.
Hey.
We'll see you next week with the review of Blade 2.
Why is he doing that?
Peace. Hey.
Peace.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, Black Men Can't Jump comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!